Well, so you had a lesson on this just very shortly.
Not so long ago.
Well, you know, that's one thing about the Bible, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? You don't have to worry because the Bible is not copyrighted. And this is something that we can take and you can just keep on looking and looking and looking, and you can never go wrong, folks. And we are very, very thankful that we can look at this and technology and whatnot, and we can tell God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. David, thank you for the wonderful prayer tonight. Rob, what a wonderful thank you for singing the songs tonight. You can't go wrong. And thank you all for coming back tonight. And if you did go to the Golden Corral, you're pushing it being back here tonight, okay? I know, when I went back to Andy's and Carol's, I told him, oh, you know, I'm going to get me just a little cat nap. My head hit that bed, and I'm glad my son came in and shook my leg, okay? Because I would still be there. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to be here in this wonderful place in Cleveland or Bedford, wherever you call it. And we're thankful that we can be here to praise God. Thank you for coming out tonight. And I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to be personal with you right now tonight on this lesson. Nothing new under the sun, but think about what we're about to say. Now, you were the ones that alluded to me in our prayer, in these songs. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. So let's do that. We were here this morning and we gave God the attention tonight. A little bit. Let's give God our attention. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Jesus, our good shepherd. Do you have trouble believing that God loves and cares for you? I know a lot of people who do. A gregarious amount of people who do. And like Dave or like you in your little corner of the world, there's people out there right now that are dying. They are starving. They are hungering and they are thirsting and they need help. That's you, ladies and gentlemen, and that's me, that we gotta go help them. Where were you when that person came to you to share the gospel in your life? Aren't you thankful for those people? I don't know who it was in your life. You don't know who it was in my life. But I'm very thankful for the ones that God sent to me to help me to get on track. And are you still thankful for people who help you to understand the words of life? That's why we sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. We want to share what we have learned so that we can help other people to learn about the good news. That good news is not in you, it's not in me, but we understand it is in Jesus Christ. And what wonderful news it is, isn't it? The gospel of God. What wonderful news it is. Many Christians struggle. They struggle with this issue because they can't quite. Now notice how we put this. They can't quite picture the Lord in all His glory. And yes, it is. He is par excellent above everything else. In all His glory, they cannot picture the Lord to be, how can He care for me? How can He do that? He's too busy. He's taking care of this marvelous, I mean, the universe is moving. And it is moving. All in His fingers, in His grasp. I mean, all He had to say is, world, start. And it started. And one day He's going to say, stop. And it's going to stop.
Can I ask you a question?
In the interim, where are you going to be?
Where are you at?
Oh, I know you're here at Columbus Street tonight, but where are you out spiritually, ladies and gentlemen? How is your life doing right now? You see, I understand Romans 7. I understand Romans 8. I understand, just like you understand, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, what do? They mind the things of the Spirit. Where are we at tonight, ladies and gentlemen? In our spiritual walk. Perhaps they feel unworthy of his attention. Or they think, God, you're too busy governing the entire universe to be concerned about the details of our lives. You're just too busy. But I'm here to tell you on this beautiful night that God is never too busy for you. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, it's the other way around. It's in our lives. We get too busy. But you show me, give me just one, you know, you show me one example where God, Jesus Christ, was too busy for you. You see, in the scriptures, it was these people. They were left. They were left to die. I'm talking about people who had leprosy. I'm talking about people who was maimed. I'm talking about people who was deformed. I'm talking about people who were hurting. I'm talking about the blind. I'm talking about those who died. Jesus was concerned. Was he not? It was Jesus that would go into these places that no one else would go into. I mean, we just don't find a lot of people going in, the people who have leprosy and whatnot. And Jesus goes among those people and he heals them. And he wasn't doing it to say, look at me, look what I can do. He was doing it because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care for them. How much do you care for him tonight? Thank you so much for being here. We are elated that you are here, and we hope that we can understand as the earth is moving right now, and the only reason that it is moving right now, ladies and gentlemen, is because God allows us to move. Folks, whatever the reason for their doubt, even for our doubt, ladies and gentlemen, whatever the reason that it might be, folks, they are missing out on the joy. Oh, people who don't have God, they are missing out on the joy and the intimate relationship with the God who loves them and desires to walk with them every day of their lives. Have you ever thought about it like that? I mean, those who don't have God, they are missing out on everything, are they not? You can have everything else in this world, but if you don't have God, what do you have? Because everything else, it's already been alluded to, it's gone. It's going to go. But not God, ladies and gentlemen, not God. So what we want to look at, we know that wonderful great verse in John 3:16, and think about that. I mean, of all the universe, we see this. We see that on the Super Bowl, do we not? People holding up the sign, John 3:16, there it is. We see it. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, with the election and whatnot, people holding up the sign, oh, it's all about Donald Trump, or it's all about Obama. I would like to tell you this. Or it's all about Hillary. No, it's all about God, ladies and gentlemen. We need God. God puts those people in place. Do you realize that? It's not because of Obama. It's not because of Donald Trump. It's not because of Hillary. God puts these people in place. And we need to understand that. And yes, that is a very powerful verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but you would have everlasting life. That is a powerful verse. But I ask you a personal question as you examine your life tonight. Do you got him? Oh, you say, well, yeah, we got him. Danny, can't you see? Are you blind? Put your glasses on, boy. Yes, we got him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about down your moxie, your spirit, your love, what you're doing to help other people in this world. The way that God has helped you, what are you doing to help other people now in this world? Our time is running out. We need to do all that we can, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, verse 25. What do we do to help other people the way that Jesus has helped us? That's what I'm alluding to. So with the time that we have, I'll tell you what, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, he spilled his blood. His blood. God has touched me with his blood. I say I need to help other people to feel and see his blood. How vital is it? It's very vital, ladies and gentlemen. David wrote probably the most well-known of all the Psalms describing the loving care for us in Psalms 23. Did he not? I mean, how popular is that Psalms? And yet when I look at the Psalms, I see a lot of wonderful Psalms. But a lot of us, we turn to this Psalms and we can get a great benefit of joy and comfort to help us in time of need. I know I have in my life. All the Psalms, the Proverbs, there's so many. All the Bible is good. But this Psalm is very, very special. In the very first verse, he identifies the Lord as my shepherd. I want you to understand that. We're in Psalms chapter 23. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. That says it all, does it not? Does it not that say it all? But think about that, ladies and gentlemen. He's not merely a shepherd. Or one of many. Understand what I just said there. But a personal shepherd. This implies a close relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see this, the basis for this relationship is found in John 10 verse 11. I know you understand what's going on there. In John 10 verse 11, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd saying, what did he say? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. What does that mean? Do you understand that we should be doing the same thing? That we should be laying down our life for the sheep? That's what it's about. It's not about what I get. It's about Jesus. What do you want? What do you want out of my life? If we realize our sinful condition, and I hope you do, acknowledge Jesus Christ's death on our behalf and receive him by keeping his commandments, we can know we are his sheep and we can find confident of his care for us. Because it was stated, for while we were yet sinners in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, what did he do? He died for us. If you love me, Jesus simply put it this way, keep my commandments in John 14 and verse 15. So I ask you right now tonight, look at your life very quickly here. What does the cross mean to you? What does it mean? Because until you get infatuated, until you get enamored, until you get totally into that cross, I'll tell you what, it will change your life. Because we have been crucified, have we not? We have been crucified. And we have to show the world, we have to teach the world what we know to help them so that they can have that precious blood shed upon them too. Oh, God did it. But it will not happen until you show it. Ladies and gentlemen, are you showing the blood of Christ to people in your community? In your world? You see, you can reach people that I can never reach. I don't know your friends, you don't know mine. God has used you to help them. Think about your close friends that you have in the corner of your world. What are you doing to show people the cross? What does the cross mean for you? The rest of Psalms 23 outlines, now think about it, the rest of Psalms 23 outlines what we can expect from our loving shepherd. That's what it's about. Verses 2 through 6, that's what it's about. It outlines what we can expect from our loving shepherd. Every verse describes how he demonstrates his tender care for us. First of all, he is a providing shepherd, is he not? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Psalms 23, verse 1 and verse 2. God knows exactly what we need because he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That's just the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. We can trust him to supply all our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Now, this doesn't mean, now watch me, this does not mean he'll provide them in exactly the way or the time we expect. Right now, God. Uh-uh. But we can always know, it was just almost quoted in Romans 8, verse 28. We know all things work together for those who love God, right? If God be for us, you tell me who's going to be against you down in verse 31. Not my time, God. Your time. And God knows best. God knows best. Second, the Lord is our guiding shepherd. He restores my soul. Psalms 23, verse 3. He guides me in the path of righteousness. Watch this. For his name's sake. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about us. It's for him. That's the whole crux of life. Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him in John 10, verse 27. Friends, being in Romania over the years past, I've observed a relationship with the shepherd and the sheep, and it's amazing how close they are. Just amazing to me. To go that far away and to see how precious those sheep are. But I tell you what, they're sheep. They're animals. You know what those sheep, you know what they rely on? Their shepherd. And the shepherd, wherever they go, David, the shepherd's here and they follow the shepherd. It's like your cat following you at home. Now I know how much cats love you. We got like a couple cats in the Cherney's house, okay? They just love them to death, I'll tell you right now. You know, when you have animals following, you know, animals, you just love your... In fact, I think sometimes people love the animal more than they love people, you know? I mean, it seems to be that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the Bible and Proverbs tell you the way a person treats the animal to tell you a lot about their characteristics. No doubt about that. Maybe we need to get more animals. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, you think about this. You think about this very closely here, what I'm about to say. Listen, the sheep would always follow the shepherd. Always. Everywhere he would go, the sheep would be there. And I want you to think about that just for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, that's exactly how we should respond to our shepherd, isn't it? God, what do you want? I would like for you to be back tonight. Is it too much to come back and worship God? I know sometimes we got to work and whatnot. I'm not talking about, I understand the hard knocks of working and whatnot. But did not Jesus say that if you will put me first, I will take care of you? How much trust do you have in that? Well, Danny, it's easier to say, and I didn't say about that part. All I'm asking you right now, I'm not trying to be officious. Did not God say, if you put me first, I will take care of you? Oh, we can quote scriptures all night long. I'm not talking about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about, did he not say, if you put me first, I'll take care of you? Not only in this life, but also in the next. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we should respond to our shepherd. He always leads us in the right way. Oh, God never took me in the wrong way. Yet so often we are prone to wonder. Sometimes we think another pasture looks greener than the one he has for us. That's just the way it is, isn't it? I wish I had that. Did you see that car? Nothing wrong with having nice cars. But did you see that beautiful house? I'll tell you what. The actor Will Smith, he has some pretty good, nice toys in this world. I mean, he has a motor home, ladies and gentlemen, that's only probably a couple $1 million. But what's that to him? I mean, he's him. I'll tell you what it is. To God, it's just a trinket. Nothing wrong. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for people who have things. But what is more important than having a relationship with God? I want you to think about it. I'm not being condescending and I'm not jealous of no means, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. What is your soul worth? Really, just what is it worth? Or perhaps we simply take our eyes off the shepherd and we get lost. I've done that. And we find ourselves in trouble. Have you done that? You're looking at a sinner. Preacher? Nah. Sinner? Yes. A vagabond? Yes. A pilgrim? Yes. Great teacher? No. Lecturer? Nah. Sinner? Yes. But you know what happened to this sinner? Jesus had mercy for me. And Jesus has had mercy for you. Has he not? That's why you're here tonight. Because you feel the presence, the love of Jesus. That's the one I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. No matter where or why we stray, our shepherd always comes to find us. Thank you, God. He comes to find us. He doesn't beat us up when he found me. When he found me out, when he saw me and he saw me doing things I shouldn't be doing, looking at things I shouldn't look at, saying things I shouldn't say, hearing things I shouldn't listen to. He didn't come and he didn't slap me around, ladies and gentlemen. He came to lift me up. With his rod for our disobedience, but simply he picks us up and he carries us home, rejoicing that we have been found and we are restored. In fact, he tells us about that in Luke 15, verse 4 through 6. That's what a shepherd does. He'll come and he'll take care of you. Come home. It goes on to talk about the prodigal. Come home, son. You know, the dad could have been very upset at his son. What are you doing hanging out there with these prostitutes? What's up with that? Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world does that. I know Christians who do that. Why do we act like, you know what, this is something new under the sun? The point what we need to get down to is this. How are we going to go out and touch those and bring those young men back home? Don't do this, son. This is not right. Love women the right way, not the wrong way. They got a soul too. Something has went wrong in their life. They didn't receive the love when they needed it the most. But you can give them the love that they need most. His name is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me here. Follow me very carefully here. The third quality of our shepherd is that he is our protector. Psalms 23 verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what a powerful statement. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about that. All the paths God chooses for our lives are for the purpose of sanctifying us or making us righteous. Verse 2. Think about that. They make us better. And sometimes this means that we must go through the dark valleys. You are going to have dark valleys in your life. I'm having dark valleys in my life right now. But you know what God says? Danny, don't give up on me. Don't let me go, Danny. No, in these dark valleys, cry to me. Cry to me. Do you not think God can help us? Oh, he can help us, ladies and gentlemen. He can help us. No matter how difficult, threatening the past seem, no matter how it seems, there is no need to fear because our shepherd is always with us. Isn't that what the writer said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Well, I tell you what, I know Christian ladies who have been forsaken by their godly Christian husbands. They have walked off, they have left, they went and got a younger thing. I'll tell you right now. I know them personally, and I know a drove amount of men who have done that. Left their pretty wife and went off after another young chick, okay? And vice versa, I know women who have done the same thing. Well, that's, hey, you know what? My sugar daddy has a lot more money than what you have, and he can give me the things I want. I'm not talking about that type of love. And you think I'm embellishing, ladies and gentlemen? I don't have time to stand up here to embellish. That's the world we live in. But I'll tell you who won't do that. People who love God. Truly. And if they have done that, can't they not repent? Can't they come home? Because I know a lot of people who have come home in those scenarios. I have seen it. I have been in churches. I have been, just like I'm doing here at Columbus Street, take this little word and let the word of God cut them to the heart. By the way, that's what Hebrews 4 verse 12 says anyway, doesn't it? It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will work. My job is, ladies and gentlemen, people do not want to hear a sermon. Where have you been? They want to see one. More is caught than taught. And that's the whole gist of Jesus Christ's life. And chew on that for a while, ladies and gentlemen. Because I've said this in some church buildings and they look at me and say, boy, oh boy, this guy has lost it. He needs to get more sleep. No, this is what Jesus illustrated in his life. Love. When we keep our eyes on him, we're able to persevere and come out on the other side, displaying Christ-like character that glorifies him and benefits us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life, in John 8 and verse 12. The shepherd's rod and staff are symbols of protection and comfort for the sheep, not cause for fear. It's not cause for fear. It's a protection. I'm gonna do all I can to protect you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love hath cast out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, the Apostle John said in 1 John 4 verse 18. We need to understand God, there is no fear. We walk with him, not against him. With his staff, he gently guides straying sheep, and his rod is used to protect them from wild animals. Each night, as the sheep approach the fold, the shepherd puts his rod across the doorway, and he counts the sheep as they come through until all are safely inside. In Romania, 1, 2, 3, and they come in and it, you know, and they were as happy and just, they were happy to be home. They'd been out in that, the field grazing and whatnot, and there's the wolves, the coyotes, and everything out. But when they come home, they feel safe. They're glad to be with their master. Can I say the same thing to you? Are you glad to be with your master tonight? Are you glad to be here to know Jesus Christ? Or are we ashamed? It's hard to get people to come back. I don't want them to come back to hear me. I want them to come back and learn about Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, what type of relationship do you have? The sheep, they come home and the shepherd guides them home. That's what it's about. And what about this in our Bible class, ladies and gentlemen? What about this when David is preaching? And what about this wherever you go, the church and whatnot? That's the whole gist of a preacher. That's the whole gist of an elder. That's what deacons are supposed to do. We hear people and we have people, ladies and gentlemen, and they are conducting a Bible class. They're just trying to help enrich their lives and him. That's it. Nothing wrong with that. And finally, our shepherd makes preparation for us. In Psalms 23 and verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. Just as an honored guest in ancient times was welcomed with anointing oil, nothing new there. So Christ invites us to sit down and enjoy fellowship with him. In the midst of whatever threatens or troubles us, we find refreshment in his presence. Isn't that beautiful? What are you going through? What am I going through? I'm here to tell you, I don't know. But I can do know this. When you go to God, he will quit stop you from thirsting. He'll help you. Folks, after spending time alone with him and his word and prayer, our empty cup has been filled to overflowing and we have the strength to face another day. That's the only way, folks. The only way that we can keep going is because of God. That's it. If you want a preacher to tell you something else, you got the wrong preacher. There's plenty of them. Go pick out one. They're a dime a dozen, okay? Just go. They're all over. Find people who love God. And you'll find the right preacher. And find someone who has that passion we talk about. You'll find the right preacher. Find someone who loves Jesus, you'll have the right preacher, ladies and gentlemen. When we see this, the benefits of faithfully following our shepherd are found in Psalms 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. Everything good that God does for us is covered by this verse. Say it again, preacher. Everything good that God does to us, it's covered by this verse in Psalms 23 and verse 6. He not only lavishes us with his grace every day of our lives, but one day he will take us home to heaven where we will dwell with him forevermore. Andy, could it be any better than that? Andy was telling me that he just misses going to work because he's retired, been retired for 15 years now, him and Carol. But he hates that because Sunday, as you go home, you gotta think about getting up. Maybe you gotta go to work right when you leave here. He can sleep in tomorrow morning if you want to, okay? Now, surely he doesn't do that stuff, okay? But nonetheless, you know, he just hates it because he was loved to just go back out to that factory or whatever and just give it, you know. What a perk to be retired, isn't it? But think of it this way. What a perk to spend more time with God to teach other people where they can learn about God. I tell you what, it don't get no better. Jesus truly is our good shepherd, ladies and gentlemen. He truly is our good shepherd. What did you say, Danny? I said he truly is our good shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Joe, it don't get no better. No evil. Love this man. Don't really know him all that well, except I know him from being here before. Love you all, ladies and gentlemen. What does he want? What's this guy want? Here's what I want. I want you to go to heaven. Any takers? There's a fountain free. It's for you and me. Are you thirsting? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you thirsty? The Lord is my shepherd. I, David, shall not want. Please come as we stand and sing.